May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Now, last week, Father Chris challenged us to climb the mountain of joy. And I stole his sermon from the lectern during the week. And so I've got it right here. And in the gospel, he said, he quoted the gospel in Luke 13:24. It says, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." And he said, "What do you think every effort is? To strive, to fight as if competing for a prize, to do everything you can." And this is the advice Jesus gives to those still on the mountain, those who are still off the mountain, those who haven't come through the narrow door. He tells them to do anything and everything to come through the narrow door while they can. God doesn't exclude any person unless they exclude him. So remember, you are never alone on this journey, the Christian journey. Once you are on the mountain, you never have to leave. You can go up or down, you can explore its lesser peaks and ridges, and you can climb as high as you want. To climb high is to go into the heart of God, to search the riches of his love. It is a steep climb, but it is worth it. Make every effort to climb higher on this mountain, the mountain of joy. Make every effort. Okay, so what does that look like? How do we climb the mountain? How do we make every effort? What does all of that involve? So let me give you some practical application for this challenge, all right? Let me start with a story first. When I was sitting in right where Miranda is last week listening to this, I was going, "Joy."
Exactly.
I was having a hard week. I've been having a hard couple of months. I've been having a hard couple of years, to be honest with you. And just before the service, Father David asked me how I was doing. He asked me again this week. I'm a little better this week. Thank you, Father David, for asking. But, oh, it's just been really hard, and I haven't been sleeping well, and I've been tired, and I've been out of sorts, and what?
Grumpy.
Grumpy, says my wife. Yes. But one of the things, as I've been praying through this, one of the things that has struck me is it is so similar to what I was going through back in the early 90s, before we left the Episcopal Church to start the Charismatic Episcopal Church. And from about 1989 to 1995, I was miserable, to be honest with you, in many, many ways. And at one point, I was so angry with God, I just said, "Okay, God, if I'm supposed to be full of joy, you show me what joy is." And I got my concordance, I went through and I wrote down every single passage in the Bible that said something about joy or rejoicing. And I wrote it all down. And I was like, "Okay, I'm no better off than I was when I began." So there was just this incredible lack of joy. But the one thing I did notice, one thing that did hit me in all of that, was that joy isn't something that comes from outside. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and the Holy Spirit is released to do his work in you, then the fruit of the Spirit can begin to blossom, and the joy can be there. Also, I had this big argument with God about how he had called me to be a prophet in the midst of the darkness, and I didn't want to be a prophet in the midst of the darkness because they kill prophets. I don't like that. And he said, you know, and I was yelling, God, I've done everything you've told me to do. I've come back here. I've been preaching the word boldly. And he said, did I tell you to preach the word boldly? Well, that's what prophets do. Did I tell you to preach the word boldly? Well, what the heck am I supposed to do if I'm a prophet in the midst of the darkness? Did I tell you, Bill, to preach the word boldly? Well, not in those words, no. Then live the truth joyfully. Okay. So I'm going kind of through the same thing, and I was thinking, okay, why is this similar to what was going on 25 years ago? I just, you know, what's the relationship here, God? What's going on? And he said, I was doing a new thing then. What did I tell you at the beginning of this year? I'm going to be doing a new thing. And the one thing that hit me about all of that was, if I had not been miserable in the early 90s, I would have been happy to stay where I was. As a matter of fact, life would have been a whole lot easier if I'd stayed where I was. I had a church. I had benefits. I had insurance. I had a pension. Things were good. I had an income. You know, things were good. But if I was miserable, then God knew I would be looking for what it is I'm supposed to be doing. So, if God's doing a new thing today, maybe the cause of my dissatisfaction with things as they are now, hopefully will make me open to what God is wanting me to do next. The new thing that he's calling me to do. And so, really, from that, sometimes we have to recognize that sometimes the miserable state of our life is actually a gift from God. It's actually a reason, an opportunity for joy. And that's kind of hard sometimes for us to accept. But it's one of the ways that God can move us out of our static state into the place that he wants us to be. Is any of this making any sense? Yes. Okay, all right. Okay.
You say something this morning to regard these likes a broken and contrite heart?
Yep, there you go.
We need to give you the Flannery O'Connor poster that shows the cat trying to do tricks. It says, you shall know the truth, or the truth shall make you free, but first it'll make
you miserable. Exactly, yes. Exactly. Well, we may not be happy with the circumstances where we are right now, but that does not mean that we cannot be filled with the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord comes from the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in us, not from the outside circumstances of our life. And so it is the fruit of the Spirit being made manifest. If we give him the opportunity, then that can come forward. So, okay. So how do we climb this mountain of joy that Father Chris was talking about? Now, I'm going to give you something, and you're going to go, oh, that. But this is truth, okay? This is really truth. It's about relationship. I've heard that before. You did.
I called it.
You called it. It's about relationship. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 13, all right? It's about relationship. It really is, okay? Bear with me. Hear me out on this. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, in verse 1, keep on loving each other as brothers. It's about relationship, okay? Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers. And then the wording in the NIV is just absolutely horrible, but we'll keep going. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. We have entertained angels unawares. Sounds so much more biblical, I guess. Anyway, but yes, entertain strangers, because you may be even finding yourself entertaining angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison. Now, that's don't stop there. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. Whoa, that's a whole different ballgame. That's really getting into some deep relationship stuff there. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Wow, that's going beyond sympathy to empathy. Mm-hmm. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. All right, so seriously, guys, it's about relationship, about this idea that God is calling us into a relationship with Him first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And God is calling us to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's about relationship. If we're going to climb the mountain of joy, we must be in relationship with God and relationship with one another. Make every effort to be in relationship. Okay? Well, none of us can do all of these things without the support of each other, without the support of the body, and without the support of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So we go back to where we started, Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. If we're going to do this, it's not going to be something that we conjure up ourselves. It's not going to be something that we create as a new composition, as it were. It's something that we're going to build on the faith that has been passed down from generation to generation. Our holy fathers have laid the foundation, and we are building on that foundation. Are you with me? Does this make sense? And so why are we looking to the things of this world and the things of today for trying to figure out how to do the work that God has called us to do? It's already been told us over and over again for a couple of thousand years. Think about the Hebrews. Whenever they were walking in opposition to God, what did God do? He called them and said, do you remember how I brought you out of Egypt? Do you remember how I fed you in the wilderness? Do you remember, here's how I've done it in the past. Why are you trying to do it differently today? It's the same thing today, folks. Is the church the way you want it to be today? I don't know about you, but I can see an awful lot that could really and seriously accept some improvement. Okay, so do we do it all new and all afresh? Or do we go back and we say, okay, wait a minute, God, how have you done this in the past? How has it been healed in the past? What are the things that you did that brought us back into right relationship with you in the past? In the Rule of Saint Benedict, in the last chapter, as a matter of fact, the last two verses of the Rule of Saint Benedict, he says this: are you hastening toward your heavenly home? Then with Christ's help, keep this little rule that we have written for beginners. After that, you can set out for the loftier summits, the mountain, of the teaching and virtues we mentioned above. And under God's protection, you will reach them. Amen. That sounds pretty simple. And this little rule, it's a rule not for those who have already figured it all out. It's a rule for those who are just beginning. It's a little rule for beginners. I wonder why. Because it has some very basic advice on how to live the Christian life. That's why. It's got some basics on how to be in relationship with each other and how to stay in relationship with God. It's a little rule for beginners so that we can set out for the loftier summits. Maybe the mountain of joy? That might be a good place to go. Okay. Well, there are a lot of modern efforts out there, and some of them are actually very good. And we need to be alert to those things, those opportunities. Church growth plans and Christian rallies and stuff, though, are not going to be the answer to all of our problems. I don't think there's any one answer to all of our problems other than Jesus himself. But Benedict has a proven track record for over 1,500 years. Actually, Miranda and I were talking, I guess it was last night at the dinner table, we were talking about, you know, one of the things that people object to about St. Benedict is that he's Roman Catholic. And it hit me as I was praying about this sermon, about what God's doing. No, he wasn't. Benedict actually wasn't a Roman Catholic.
Because there were no Roman Catholics.
Because there were no Roman Catholics. For the first 1,000 years, there were just Christians and non-Christians. There weren't any denominations for the first 1,000 years. It was one unified church, so he wasn't Roman Catholic. So he's part of everybody's tradition, folks. So, you know, don't rule him out just because of that, all right? But his rule, the rule of St. Benedict, is foundational for Western Christianity. Not just for Western monasticism, but for Western Christianity. Every monastic order in the West has based its order on the rule of St. Benedict. They've gone beyond that with St. Francis or St. Ignatius or St. Dominic. You know. But the basis of it, the foundation of Western monasticism, is St. Benedict. So if we're going to go to something, go to St. Benedict. I mean, I was looking at all these different monastic orders while I was down at Belmont Abbey, just looking and seeing what it said in all the different orders and the rules that they have. And I couldn't help but laugh when I got to, I was looking at St. Francis, and there was a commentary, and the very first line in this commentary about the rule of St. Francis was, St. Francis is the most beloved of the saints in the West. And the least imitated. Yeah, because it's really hard to do what Francis did. Anyway, but I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, back to the story. All right. I say that the rule of St. Benedict is foundational not just for the monasteries, but for Western Christianity. Whenever the church has been in trouble, whenever the church has been struggling, when the church has gone back to following the rule of St. Benedict, it has recovered quickly. Take, for example, the Cluny reforms of the, was that late 9th, early 10th century. The church, those were the Dark Ages, folks. But when the Cluny reforms came, they agreed to all follow, if you will, slavishly, the rule of St. Benedict, and Christianity spread across Western Europe in a way that it has never spread like that before or since. It was a complete revival, not just of monasticism, but of the church as a whole. And I don't know about you, but I could see that it would be really nice if the Christian church in America today experienced a major revival. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we can all conjure up our own ideas of how it could be done, or we can go back to the foundation. Why not go back to the foundation? So if we're going to climb the mountain of joy, what should we do? Well, here is a proven method that has been in the church for 1,500 years. And this isn't just Bill, and this isn't just the Fellowship of St. Benedict. This is something that we see going on all over the place. When I first started the Fellowship of St. Benedict, Christopher came to me and offered me a book, and it was called what?
The Benedict Option.
The Benedict Option.
Yeah.
Rod Dreher, he's out there with the Benedict Option, and he's proclaiming that as this may be the healing balm that the church needs today. You go and look up St. Benedict today on the internet, you'll find that it's going on all over the place. And what was really cool when I started really getting into this and looking at it, they've actually opened Monte Cassino again in Italy. And there are a group of monks from America who have gone there to reestablish the Benedictine order for Italy, which could probably use as much as America, maybe more. It's going on. It's happening. And there's a reason, because God has a plan, and he said, I am going to do something new. Well, the something new is probably based in something very old, because that's the way God does it. I've done it this way in the past. Here's how I'm going to do it again in your day. I am doing something new. Don't be afraid to try it. Don't be afraid to try it. Now, there are many ways, and I'm not saying this is the answer for every individual in the church today, but it's something that you need to at least consider, that there is fruit in the rule of St. Benedict that may be very nourishing for you. Don't rule it out. Because what Father Chris was telling us last week, if you're going to climb the mountain of joy, make every effort. Well, here's an opportunity. Make an effort. Look at this. Examine it. See what it has to say about relationship with each other and relationship with God. Now, let me close with from the prologue of the Rule of St. Benedict. And see if this doesn't entice you, maybe whet your appetite just a little bit. Therefore, we intend to establish a school for the Lord's service. We can all go to school together. We can all study. Everybody's going to be at a different level on that school, and that's okay. We all go to school together, helping each other. Therefore, we intend to establish a school for the Lord's service. In drawing up its regulations, we hope to set down nothing harsh, nothing burdensome. The good of all concerned, however, may prompt us to a little strictness in order to amend faults and to safeguard love. That's appropriate. Do not be daunted immediately by fear and run away from the road that leads to salvation. I couldn't help but think of Monty Python. Run away! Run away! No. We're not going to do that. Do not be daunted immediately by fear and run away from the road that leads to salvation. It is bound to be narrow at the outset. But as we progress in this way of life and in faith, we shall run on the path of God's commandments, our hearts overflowing with inexpressible delight of love. Now that sounds enticing. Wouldn't you love to have the delight, inexpressible delight of love?
Speaking of delight, I have had a thing on my heart this morning since we started our praise and worship set there. I mean, it in itself was like the answer to me is like the first song, "Here I Am to Worship." What are we here to do to begin with? We're
absolutely
here to worship, and it just went on. If we make Him our delight and we have a heart like His,
there you go.
You can't turn it on. It's like,
that's
so
right.
Simple and so old in a sense. Like all those songs are all old, just kind of regular, not new, something different that we're trying.
Amen. Well, folks, you all should have received my email about the blog, and there will be daily meditations beginning today on the Rule of St. Benedict over the next 4 months. I'm just asking you to keep an open mind and to look at those. If you read those every day, by December 31st, you will have read through the entire Rule of St. Benedict. And I'm not talking about a book this thick. This is the Rule of St. Benedict, okay? It's not real big. You can handle this, I promise you. And the meditations, they're not more than a single page. So you're talking about 5 minutes a day. Now, if you don't have the internet, I've got 3 copies, hard copies, of the first week's meditations out there on the table in the narthex. So if you have no ability to log on to my blog, you can pick up one of those. If I run out of those over there, please, if you can get onto the internet, don't take one of those, okay? You can print your own hard copy if you want to, but leave those for the people who don't have that opportunity. Yes?
At the end of that last song, it talked about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Making a dwelling place.
Yes.
And I got an image. And it was so neat because it was inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the inside of us was so filled with clutter and all kinds of stuff. And He came down into the midst of that and wiggled around like this. And He was shoving aside and discarding all of that junk that was inside. And He was happy.
There you go.
Because He was making room for Himself. He was
Amen.
Making
a dwelling place. And I believe that that's going on right now.
Absolutely.
And I believe he is so pleased and excited about the chance to get inside of us in a deeper way and get all of the clutter out of the way and make room for himself.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
For about a week and a half, I've been asking God, I've surrendered my dreams and my sleep to God, and I've only had to take my sleep medication twice in the last 2 weeks, and I asked him to come into my dreams, and most times he doesn't, but I haven't had nightmares in 2 weeks, and there was, I also asked him to keep whatever won't leave me alone out of them, and they don't come into my dreams.
So he's there, absolutely.
Yeah. And there was one time I had a dream that was really vivid, and it was like I was running around in like a maze, and it was like a labyrinth, and I was so confused, and I was in an elevator that there was like buttons all around the elevator, and I kept getting this thought that whatever won't leave me alone is trying to confuse me and cause all this confusion in my life. And I was like in a maze, and then I woke up and I was like, that sounds like something God would say. That sounds like something the Holy Spirit would say. Like, it's just trying to confuse, and it's trying to cause me to be confused. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And but God will bring order out of the chaos. That's what he did at the beginning of creation. Mm-hmm. Their chaos was over all of the waters, and he brought order out of it and made the universe as we see it today. Thanks be to God.
Can I share something that this
I guess so.
This is for my patron saint, okay, C.S. Lewis, but it relates so much to what you're saying. He's talking about people saying, I don't want to look at theology, I don't want to look at church history, I want to have a direct experience of God.
Mm.
And he says that's like somebody who wants to go to the ocean and experience it themselves. Well, that's fine if all you want to do is wade in the ocean. You can experience, but if you actually want to get somewhere on the ocean, you want to look at charts and you want to look at people who've actually been on the ocean before and can tell you what's out there and where to go. And that's what theology, that's what church history, that's what rule, that what it'll do for you. It'll enable you to do something more than wait. It doesn't make your personal experience invalid, but it gives you a way to go beyond that and to take on the help of many, many other people's personal experience.
And when you recognize that what Benedict was dealing with in the year 500 was almost identical to what we're dealing with today. I mean, Rome had fallen. The pagans had basically overrun Rome. The world was in chaos. It just, things weren't, sexual morality was long gone, you know. Government was in complete turmoil. Of course, we haven't experienced that yet. Much. You know, and things just weren't going well, okay? And so that's why he brought these men together and wrote the rule. So, okay, how can we learn to live in the midst of this chaos and maintain our relationship with Christ and our relationship with each other? What better way? And Benedict is basically dealing with things that we want to deal with. Okay, how can we learn to be humble? How can we learn to live in relationship with each other? What are the tools of spiritual growth? What are the right ways to discipline each other? How do we work together to see these things come to pass? And it's not just for men who are in enclosed monasteries. It's for all of us. And so that's what these meditations that I'm writing are about, is applying the rule of St. Benedict to our lives lived in the secular world. And I hope and I pray that this will be instructive for you as well as for me as I'm working through this, and maybe instructive for the church as a whole. So I'm not the only one doing this, as I said. There are many others out there, like Rob Dreher with the Benedict Option, with folks in Monte Cassino. There are others who are doing it. So let's get on the train and see where it's going. I have no idea, but God said he's going to be doing something new. I want to be part of whatever God is doing. And if he's doing something new, I want to be part of that.
There's that group at Bishop Bates' church in
New York. And the group,
doing the same thing.
There's a group at the patriarch's home church that is using the rule of Saint Benedict. So, yeah, it's going on, folks. So let's get on board with the Lord, and let's go wherever that train is going to take us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.